Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Two shootings involving federal agents in Minnesota and Oregon have sparked anger and outrage. In Minneapolis, Renee Good was shot by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer on Wednesday. In Portland, federal officers shot a man and a woman inside a vehicle yesterday, leaving both wounded. The FBI and the Oregon Department of Justice were investigating.
Hundreds of people protested outside an ICE building in Portland, Oregon, Thursday night after federal immigration agents shot and wounded two people in a vehicle outside a city hospital. Portland resident Angelisa Jones says it's been chaos.
People, the community is trying to get answers. The officials are not trying to tell us anything.
Portland Mayor Keith Wilson is demanding answers.
Portland is not a training ground for militarized agents. We are calling on ICE to halt all operations in Portland until a full and independent investigation can take place.
The Department of Homeland Security says the vehicle's passenger was, quote, a Venezuelan illegal alien affiliated with the transnational Tren de Aragua prostitution ring, end quote. And they say that when agents identified themselves to those in the vehicle, the driver tried to run them over. Mayor Wilson says he doesn't believe that account. I'm Donna Water.
Anger and outrage in the streets of Minneapolis over the fatal shooting of a woman by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer. The head of Minnesota's State Investigations Agency says the U.S. Attorney's Office has barred it from taking part in the investigation. But Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says
they don't have any jurisdiction in this investigation.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey.
We want to make sure that there is a check on this administration to ensure that this investigation is done for justice, not for the sake of a cover-up. That's the underlying concern.
Meanwhile, in Portland, Oregon, a new shooting, Customs and Border Patrol agents wounding two people, City Council President Ilana Pirtle-Ginney.
As we sit here, as far as we know, both of these individuals are still alive.
The Department of Homeland Security again describes the incident as self-defense and alleges the vehicle's passenger was, quote, a Venezuelan illegal alien affiliated with Tren de Aragua. I'm Ben Thomas.
Vice President J.D. Vance is blaming a federal immigration officer's fatal shooting of a Minneapolis woman on the victim herself, among others. Renee Nicole Macklin Good's shooting is still under investigation, but Vance assigned his own blame.
The simple fact is, what you see is what you get in this case.
Saying while he feels very, very sad for her,
I can believe that her death is a tragedy while also recognizing that it's a tragedy of her own making.
Vance says the woman was brainwashed and a victim of far-left ideology. During a rare White House briefing room appearance, Vance defended the ICE officer whom he says acted in self-defense and blamed the news media for portraying Macklin Good as innocent.
You should be ashamed of yourselves, every single one of you.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
Minnesota authorities had expected to work with the FBI on the shooting investigation into the death of a woman shot by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. Now the state's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension has changed course and is barring Minnesota investigators access to evidence and witnesses, leading Minnesota investigators to say that they had to reluctantly withdraw. When asked about the change, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem refocused the blame on Minnesota.
Minnesota's a train wreck.
And that.
And they let criminals and illegals and people abuse programs and steal the money, and now they're allowing violence to go forward on the streets as well.
Saying
they have not been cut out. They don't have any jurisdiction in this investigation.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
People in positions of power have already passed judgment.
And says
that's very, very difficult to think that they were going to be fair.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Luigi Mangione is due in federal court today for a pivotal hearing in his fight to block the government from seeking the death penalty. The 27-year-old is accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. His lawyers argue authorities prejudiced his case by turning his December 2024 arrest into what they call a Marvel movie spectacle, and by publicly signaling their intent to see Mangione executed, even before he was formally indicted. If that doesn't work, his lawyers also argue the charge allowing prosecutors to seek the death penalty, murder by firearm, should be thrown out because it is legally flawed. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei indicated that security forces would crack down on demonstrators as anti-government protests escalate and the internet cuts out. AP correspondent John Gambrell has more.
A call by Iran's exiled crown prince has seen thousands enter the streets of Iran's capital to protest against the government. The call by Reza Pahlavi had been kind of a question mark. Days of protests have been escalating in Iran over the country's ailing economy. Those protests had taken on an anti-government view as they've intensified. Reza Pahlavi had called for demonstrators to shout from their homes or to go out on the streets to show their support for a change of government there. What witnesses in Tehran saw were thousands of people on the street, as well as people chanting death to the Islamic Republic, death to the dictator, and other chants in support of the Shah. Now, it remains unclear just how much support Pahlavi actually has.
This is AP News. Envoys from Greenland and Denmark are starting a push against President Trump's desire to take over the island.
Danish officials say the envoys met with White House National Security Council officials and U.S. lawmakers as they look to get help in making the president back off his threat. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's due to meet next week with Danes. For now, Vice President J.D. Vance says Europeans need to take both the president and Greenland security more seriously.
Because if they're not, the United States is going to have to do something about it.
But even GOP lawmakers are pushing back, including Alaska's Lisa Murkowski, who says there are too many other things to worry about.
Taking Greenland or buying Greenland should not be on that list. It should not be an obsession at the highest levels of this administration.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Attorneys general in five Democratic-led states have filed a lawsuit against President Trump's administration after it said it would freeze money for several public benefit programs. The administration has cited concerns about fraud in programs designed to help low-income families and their children. California, Colorado, Minnesota, Illinois, and New York states have filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. It asked the courts to order the administration to release the funds. The attorneys general have called the funding freeze an unconstitutional abuse of power. Mike Hemp in Washington.
The House has passed legislation that extends expired health care subsidies for those who get coverage through the Affordable Care Act. A handful of Republicans voted for the extension in spite of efforts by House Speaker Mike Johnson to stop it. The health care tax breaks that lowered health insurance costs for roughly 22 million people expired last month. The Congressional Budget Office says the proposed three-year extension would increase the nation's deficit by about $80.6 billion over the decade, while increasing the number of people with health insurance by millions. Members of the Senate are working on an alternative bill. President Donald Trump says that he is directing the federal government to buy $200 billion in mortgage bonds, a move he says will help reduce mortgage rates at a time when Americans are worried about home prices. Voters have expressed concerns about housing affordability ahead of the midterm elections in November. Home prices have generally risen faster than incomes, making it harder for renters to buy their first home and for existing owners to upgrade. Trump says that the two mortgage companies under government conservatorship, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have $2 billion in cash that can be used to make the purchase. Trump also says he wants to block institutional investors from buying houses to help increase available inventory. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Senate has moved ahead with a resolution that would limit President Trump's ability to conduct more attacks against Venezuela. That sets up a vote on final passage next week, though the resolution has virtually no chance of becoming law, since the president would have to sign it if it gets House approval. Still, it's a significant gesture showing GOP unease after the weekend operation to seize Nicolas Maduro. Five Republicans joined Chuck Schumer and all Democrats in advancing the resolution.
It's a clear rejection of the idea that one person can unilaterally send American sons and daughters into harm's way without Congress.
Vice President J.D. Vance and the White House are defiant.
It's not going to change anything.
The president says the five Republicans who voted in favor should never again be elected to public office. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
California remains the most blessed and often cursed place on earth.
In Sacramento, California Governor Gavin Newsom, in his last State of the State address after two terms in office, is touting his work on big problems like crime, climate change, wildfire recovery, healthcare costs, and homelessness, which he claims dropped by 9% last year.
We're not retreating. We're a beacon.
Conscious of his legacy as he eyes a presidential run in 2028, the Democrat says the state must stand up to President Trump.
The president believes that might makes right, that the courts are simply speed bumps.
Over the years, Newsom has used his annual address to highlight California's economic growth and technological innovation, and this year derided the state's critics.
We got more work to do, but to those with that California derangement syndrome, I'll repeat, it's time to update your talking points.
A year after devastating fires in the Los Angeles area that burned whole neighborhoods, the president and Congress have still not answered Newsom's call for billions of dollars to help the region recover. I'm Jennifer King.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New York Mayor Zohran Mamdani unveiled a free child care plan in New York City.
This is the day that everything changes.
Governor Hochul calls the initiative a transformative step toward easing New York's notoriously high cost of living. The plan is for the program to begin slowly, focusing first on high-end areas selected by the city, then expanding gradually over years until it becomes a universal program.
We take one step to realizing a city where every New Yorker, every family, every child can afford to keep calling it their home.
Mamdani's campaign centered on elevating the needs of struggling working-class New Yorkers. I'm Ed Donahue.
New York City police say a patient at New York Presbyterian Brooklyn Methodist Hospital was shot and killed by police Thursday after wielding a sharp object and barricading himself and two other people in a room. Police say responding officers encountered the man in a blood-spattered room and that he had threatened to harm an adult patient and a hospital security worker, as well as himself. Police say officers deployed tasers, but they didn't work. And when the man charged at the officers, they opened fire. Police say the security officer was evaluated, but they didn't know what injuries that person may have sustained. I'm Donna Water.
In Salt Lake City, Utah, two people were shot and killed and at least six wounded in the parking lot of a house of worship for the Church of Latter-day Saints last night. Dozens were inside attending a funeral. A relative of the victims, Mac Oliveta Mumbao, witnessed the shooting.
Oh, tonight was a viewing from one of my cousins that passed away just a couple of days ago. And tragic happened. Four of my other cousins got shot.
Officials do not believe it was a targeted attack against a religion. Salt Lake City Police Chief spokesman Glenn Mills says no suspect is in custody.
When police did arrive on scene, police and fire, the suspects had fled at that time. I can't give too much information on the suspects at this time. We're still trying to figure out exactly how many were there.
Audio courtesy KTVX. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Market Report. Major indexes ended mixed on Wall Street as gains for defense contractors were offset by losses in big tech companies. The S&P 500 barely budged on Thursday. The index is still near its latest all-time high. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 270 points. That's about 0.6%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 0.4%. Makers of weapons and other military equipment rallied after President Donald Trump said he wants to sharply increase government spending on defense. Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and L3Harris Technologies helped lead the way. Several big tech companies, including NVIDIA, fell. Treasury yields edged higher in the bond market following some mixed data on the U.S. economy. Seth Sutel, New York.
A slight uptick for mortgage rates. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage rose this week to 6.16%. That's just above where it was last week when it dropped to its lowest level since October 2024. The average rate has been mostly holding steady in recent weeks. It finished last year nearly a percentage point lower than at the start of 2025. Economists generally forecast that the average rate on a 30-year mortgage will remain slightly above 6% this year. I'm Alex Vega.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. Carson Beck rushed for a 3-yard go-ahead touchdown with 18 seconds remaining and tossed two TDs to lead number 10 Miami over number 6 Ole Miss 31-27 in a college football playoff semifinal at the Fiesta Bowl.
This is what we live for. This is why you play the game of football. This is why you come to the University of Miami, is for moments like this, to play in these big games.
NFL, the Miami Dolphins have fired coach Mike McDaniel following a 7-10 season in which Miami missed the playoffs for the second straight year. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross said he spoke with McDaniel on Thursday morning to inform him. The decision ends McDaniel's 4-year tenure in Miami, a period defined by soaring expectations that ultimately went unfulfilled. The Dolphins went 35-33 under McDaniel, reaching the playoffs in his first two seasons, but losing in the first round each time. NBA, the Timberwolves topped the Cavaliers 131-122 behind Julius Randle's 28 and 4 20-point scorers. Indiana's Rick Carlisle became the 11th coach in NBA history to win 1,000 games. And NHL, Detroit's Patrick Kane scored twice against Vancouver to become the 50th player in league history to record 500 career goals. The Minnesota Timberwolves held a moment of silence before their Thursday game for Renee Good, the 37-year-old woman fatally shot in her car by a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer. Good was killed following a brief confrontation with ICE officers Wednesday morning on a Minneapolis street about 3 miles from Target Center, home of the Timberwolves. The shooting fueled further protests around the Twin Cities in light of a recent surge of ICE activity in the area. Timberwolves coach Chris Finch says the community, quote, has suffered yet another unspeakable tragedy. The PGA Tour is expanding its player equity program to reward current performance. PGA Tour Enterprises CEO Brian Rolapp says in a memo to players viewed by the Associated Press that recurring equity grants will be awarded to the top 50 in the FedEx Cup. Rolapp says the expansion will roughly double the number of players who are receiving grants from the 2025 season. More than 200 PGA Tour members have been awarded $1.3 billion in equity grants. I'm Geffen Coolball.
The head of Venezuela's National Assembly is describing it as a gesture to seek peace. And journalists, lawyers, and human rights activists were among those walking out of Venezuela's prisons Thursday. Despite mass detentions after the 2024 election, Venezuela's government insists it doesn't hold political prisoners, and those in custody were accused of plotting to destabilize the government of former President Nicolas Maduro. He was captured by U.S. forces last weekend and brought to the U.S. to face drug trafficking charges. An advocacy group for prisoners says as of December 29th, there were 863 people detained in Venezuela for political reasons. The government's not been specific about how many are now being freed. I'm Ben Thomas.
Israel's army says it struck Hamas infrastructure and fighters in southern and northern Gaza in response to a failed projectile launched by militants from the Gaza City area. Health officials and family members say at least one child was among the dead in northern Gaza. The phased ceasefire between Israel and Hamas remains in its initial stage as efforts continue to recover the remains of final Israeli hostage in Gaza. Meanwhile, the appointment of Bulgarian politician Nikolai Mladenov as Director General of President Donald Trump's Board of Peace in Gaza makes him the top official in an unproven international body tasked with governing the strip under the next phase of a fragile US-brokered ceasefire after 2 years of war. Ukrainian officials say 4 people were killed and over 20 wounded in the capital overnight. Russia hasn't said whether Oreshniks hit there, but Russian media and military bloggers say it targeted a huge underground natural gas storage facility in Ukraine's western Lviv region. Ukraine's Air Force says Russia attacked Ukraine with over 240 drones and a combination of 36 missiles. It said one medium-range ballistic missile was used, but did not specify that this was definitely an Oreshnik. It adds this missile was launched from a test site in Russia's Astrakhan region, believed to be the site of the Oreshnik missile launcher. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A French political scholar who was serving a 3-year sentence in Russia for espionage charges has been released in a prisoner swap, according to France's president. French President Emmanuel Macron confirmed on X that Laurent Vinatier was free and back in Paris. Russian TV reported that the Russian security agency FSB confirmed that Russian basketball player Daniil Kasatkin was released from a jail in France in exchange. Kasatkin's lawyer said that the player had been detained last June at the request of the United States for alleged involvement in computer fraud. Vinatier was arrested in Moscow in June 2024 and sentenced to 3 years for failing to register as a foreign agent. Last year, he was also charged with espionage, which could mean up to 20 more years in prison. The scholar has been pardoned by Russian President Vladimir Putin, according to Russia's security agency. Storm Goretti is expected to hit Britain particularly hard, as the nation already is in the middle of one of its longest cold snaps in years. Heavy snowfall and strong winds are expected, and weather authorities have warned could bring a risk to life. The brunt of the storm, coming in from the Atlantic, is set to be felt in central England, with as much as 12 inches of snow falling in just a few hours. Britain's National Meteorological Service, known as the Met Office, has issued amber warnings for many parts of the UK. This means there's the possibility of travel delays, road and rail closures, flight cancellations, power cuts, and potential damage to property. Storm Goretti, which has been named by the French weather service France Météo, is expected to leave Britain's shores by Friday before impacting other parts of northwestern Europe. Angry farmers in Greece and France have taken to the streets to protest a controversial EU trade deal with South American nations. In Paris, France, dozens of angry French farmers demonstrated in front of France's lower house of parliament. Meanwhile, farmers in Greece escalated nationwide protests by launching a 48-hour tractor blockade of major highways and toll stations. The reason for the anger? EU negotiations on a trade deal with the Mercosur nations of Brazil, Argentina, Bolivia, Paraguay, and Uruguay. French farmers argue the deal would hurt their livelihoods. In Greece, the anger in the farming community has been further impacted by rising production costs. Greek farmers are demanding stronger state support and the rejection of the EU-Mercosur agreement. I'm Karen Shamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.